Cheers. They're plastic. We've just sat down for a little Aperol spritz ahead of our meal, which we're having on this Wednesday evening, which is where you join us in Liverpool. How are you enjoying it? Have a little taste of it there, Cress.
Let me have a little sip of this. Oh, it's good, Martin. It's good.
Let me just get involved as well. Hold on. Oh, there we are. This is becoming a bit of a Eurovision tradition, Aperol spritz.
And I like that tradition.
I'm not against it. Right, anyway, what's going to happen is we're going to get drunk and you're going to listen to this edition of
Nullpois is... Shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
All right, this is going down a treat. Yeah, hello and welcome to Nullpois, the Eurovision fan podcast with myself, Martin, and Laura Cress. And here we are once again in Liverpool. It's our second day here and it's the day that doesn't have any Eurovision semi-finals or finals happening on it. And so we've been being tourists for the whole of the day and having a very nice time, some of it Eurovision related, some of it not. Got a jam-packed podcast for you today, including what's coming up later, Cress?
Well, we're going to be chatting to the German entry for this year, Lord of the Lost, finding out all about their entry, how they devised it, and their hopes for the final.
Oh, food's arrived. Little chicken burger there for you, Cress. Very nice. Oh, and more as well. Yes, please. Yes, fruit biscuits are over there. Thank you very much. This is going very well. Yeah, the interview is coming up with the German entry, Lord of the Lost, and really looking forward to that. Also, you'll get to meet some of our Nullpointers, they're called, the Eurovision Nullpointer fans, who we met at a very special event, which we'll tell you about in just a moment. But first, back to yesterday and Cress's journey to Liverpool on the train. And there was a little surprise, which we didn't bring you yesterday, which we thought you'd bring you now.
That's right. You might be thinking, hang on, we've already heard about Laura's train journey. We don't need to hear it again. But there was an extra little person that we thought we'd include today, and quite randomly, it was Pete Waterman. So he came onto the train and had a chat with all the Eurovision fans. Don't forget, of course, he did co-write a Eurovision song, That Sounds Good to Me, which bombed. I think it came last. It got 10 points.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's such a shame. But what a legend, right, of music. You know, famous, of course, as one-third of Stock Aitken and Waterman, the 1980s music powerhouse, right, through the 80s. Kylie, Jason, all of that stuff was Pete Waterman. He was also on Pop Idol. Do you remember? He was a judge on and Pop Stars.
Yeah.
He is a big name. And sort of weird that he just jumped on a train at Crewe.
I feel like it was part of the OGAE experience, yes, but it was still a little bit odd, let's say. But it was nice of him to come and chat to everybody. He's a big train enthusiast, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he is. And he does like model railways and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so this is perfect for him. It's music, it's trains. And here's Cress chatting to Pete Waterman. And what are you talking to him about?
I just asked Pete. I asked him what Eurovision meant to him.
Well, a lot more now than it did when I first did the Eurovision. It's changed. I mean, it's great to see all this. It's a party.
Yeah.
It's a great party. I remember where people, where people used to go in dinner suits.
Yeah.
And clap politely, Oh, very nice old chap. Yes. Very nice. Yes, lovely. Next, please.
It's changed a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah. And I'd forgotten till I was at Crewe. My music teacher in 1955 wrote the Eurovision competition winner.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So I've forgotten all about that. He didn't think much about my musical talent, so I quickly answered around.
I was going to say, you're pretty talented as well.
I'm the music teacher. I think I did better.
Yeah, you did pretty well with your Eurovision entry there.
Yeah, not bad for a kid.
All right. Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you.
Fancy Pete Waterman being on your Eurovision train. I mean, you just can't make it up.
I know you can't, but it did happen, and he was lovely. He let me have a quick chat with him, and he was very happy to chat to all the fans on the train as well.
Since the playing there of the interview with Pete Waterman, I have finished my Aperol spritz, And I am feeling the effects of it a little bit. I will warn you now. Anyway, still to come on Null Poix, we are going to take you to a very special and almost secret gig that happened a little earlier on today that Cress and I went to. I say almost because, I mean, it was quite widely publicised. But we'll get on to that in just a little bit. First, to some news about the Eurovision Song Contest. And, well, what do we know at the moment about... Well, let's talk about the final, shall we? Because we know some stuff about the final already.
We do. It's now been revealed the order which the semi-final one qualifiers will be in the final running order. So we've got that news now. And I think the big news is that Finland and Sweden, and we already knew that the big five where they were going to be, France, are all going to be in the first half of the Eurovision final.
And these are the kind of the big hitters at the moment, aren't they? So what does that mean then? I'm trying to work out whether being in the first half is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I think if you're a strong song, you're going to do pretty well wherever you're placed. But as we've mentioned before in the podcast, the running order does have a bit of an effect on voting. We don't know exactly where they're going to be in that first half. They've just been drawn for the first half. But a lot of people talking about how producers are going to find it quite difficult to decide where to put these people now, because normally you'd want to space out something like Finland and Sweden and France. Big fan favourites, big energy songs. To have them all in such a small half, well, to have them all in such a small space, pretty difficult.
Yeah, I guess so. And also, can I just say, even from a logistical point of view, what I noticed from the first semi-final was how difficult it was to change the stage over before and after Loreen played. Did you notice all the filling and padding for time that they had to do because they had to get that blinking double television scenario off the stage and on the stage?
The Loreen sandwich, yes. A lot of people on Twitter talking about how that will probably again go before an ad break.
And you wonder how much of an effect that will have. That could be quite cunning by the sort of Swedish delegation there to do that. Anyway, there you go. There's a little bit of news on that. Some other stuff to tell you as well that I've forgotten. So what is it?
Right, well, we can also have a chat. That's great, Martin. Fantastic. We can also have a quick chat. This has also been blowing up a bit on Twitter. An interview that Martin Ostell, who's the head of the EBU, has given.
You're good to go.
That's him. That's the interpretation.
He milks that catchphrase, I think, too much. Don't big up your part, mate.
Okay, well, you know, it's his only thing he's got, really, isn't it?
No, he should be organising stuff, not coming up with catchphrases. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, well, he's just spoken about, in very vague terms, but you know what it's like on Twitter. Someone says something a little bit that sounds like something and then everyone picks up on it. He's spoken about the possibility of the grand final of Eurovision becoming 100% televote. And now he's never said that this is actually going to be a thing. He was given an interview about it and he said, we'll see, I'd like to take it step by step. We always review the rules of Eurovision on an annual basis. Of course they do. They always try and change things. So if we try something 1 year, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be like that forever. So he didn't say no, that there would never be a chance of that. What do you think about that, if that did happen?
I just think back to the fact that for many years that was the case and it was only televotes that comprised the overall score, and there was an awful lot of what was decided as political voting, or what people termed political voting. It was the reason, or one of the reasons anyway, given by Terry Wogan for not wanting to do the commentary anymore. If you remember that, he stopped doing the Eurovision Song Contest because he said it had just got silly, and they changed it I don't know whether they would say it was as a result of him, but certainly it happened at the same time. He left because of that, and then they said we're changing it because that kept happening. So they came up with this idea of, right, let's do 50-50 to make it a little bit more that, okay, you've got to have some music credentials as well as just the popular vote. So it makes it a little bit fairer as a song contest. And I think really broadly, I'm not very happy about the way it's now done, where they go to the juries and get the jury and then we combine all of the public votes together. I don't like that bit. I know that some people really love it and think it adds to the drama, and it certainly has done, but I don't agree with the way that it is done. But broadly, the system of having the 50-50, I think works.
I agree. I mean, it's not like that this year either in the final, of course. The jury has less of a sway than the televote. But to have it 100% televote, I'm not really for that either. A lot of people on Twitter saying, why don't they ask the fans, the viewers, the voters, their thoughts on these things? We don't seem to have a say in these kind of things. The juries, kind of what you're saying, the juries were brought back to ensure overall fairness because televoting only results became predictable every single year. And I, for one, I personally enjoy it not being predictable, having some element of surprise and also fairness as well.
Still to come here on Nol Poir, your Eurovision fan podcast with myself. I was about to call myself Laura, with myself, Martin, and you, Laura.
Oh, that Aperol spritz really is hitting you, isn't it, Martin?
Doing things to me I never thought it could. Still to come, our interview with the Lord of the Lost, the German entry, who we did see, actually, in the flesh yesterday, which was quite cool. Anyway, that's come in just a moment. First, the secret gig that we went to. Come on, let's talk about this. What were we doing on the top floor of a Lush in Liverpool city centre?
What weren't we doing, Martin? Well, we went to see... It's become a bit of a fixture of the Nol Poir calendar now, a secret gig. Remember last year, we saw City Zenny for Latvia do a little pop-up gig. And this is what happens in Eurovision week. The bands are obviously here. They can't just be performing in the centre all the time, so they do these little pop-up gigs. And Subwoofer, who you remember were Norway's entry last year with Give That Wolf a Banana, popped up on the top floor of Lush as part of the Wee Blogs Emporium that they've got going on there. There's loads of gigs going on there throughout the week, and they gave us a little rendition.
They did give us a little rendition, not, I should add, dressed as Subwoofer. If you remember, yeah. Subwoofer, they were in these bright neon yellow like body morph suits. They were dressed as wolves, bright yellow wolves. They were not. They didn't have any of that on. We could see them in real life for the first time, and they did do their performance, and they did a little question and answer session as well, and we were there.
So we're at a meet and greet with Eurovision acts of either this year or previous years. And yeah, it's an open space. Anybody can come. It's free. And it's all hosted by Wee Blogs.
Yeah, and here we are. What's your name?
It's Jono.
Can you please describe what you are dressed as?
Well, I am dressed as one of the wolves from last year's entry for Norway, Subwoofer.
And that involves what? Talk me through your outfit here, because there's a lot of it. I'm very impressed.
Well, I guess it starts off with the white sneakers. You've got your typical kind of like black trousers, black blazer, your tie. And then towards the top, you've got your fluorescent yellow gloves, yellow wolf mask, and cool shades as well on top, with the sharp teeth that, for me, keep falling off.
How long did it take you to put this together?
It was about a couple of days, but I actually made this last year when they...
Right, so this is reusing the...
Exactly,
it's very clever.
I held on to this for the year. To be fair, it was only ever going to come out as like a sort of Halloween costume or, you know, like a party kind of thing. And then I heard that Sir Wolfram were going to be here today, and I was like, cannot pass this opportunity up. I live very near Liverpool, so, it, you know, whenever you're going to be that close to seeing Eurovision stars like that.
And what did you make of their performance? Because they weren't dressed as Subwoofer, and you were invited on stage to sort of stand in for them.
I was wondering whether they were going to do that, but it's actually quite nice because there were other fans as well, dressed a bit like me, and we were able to do a group kind of dance at the front, and it was very surreal to be amongst them and just be able to be a part of their performance. Is so special.
What do you like about their music? What is it about that performance that really has stayed in your mind? Because it has seemed to have stood the test of time, doesn't it? It seems to be one of those songs that's remained in the kind of Eurovision consciousness.
I think it's just the iconic outfits, the really fun dance routine, and it's just, it screams Eurovision. It says like, these are the kind of entries that we watch it for every year. So therefore it just becomes iconic, and therefore every year we want to see them again, you know?
So we've just watched that special little performance by Subwoofer, Norway's entry last year. We've got some fans, both of Eurovision and of the podcast, who watched that as well. Introduce yourself, guys. Welcome.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Louise.
Nathan and Louise. And I think we've got Kim here as well, who you might remember from our previous episode yesterday from the train. Hi, Kim.
Hello.
Right. Let's just talk about what we've just been witnessing. First of all, what was it like to see Subwoofer in the flesh and not looking like a wolf?
Not like wolves? Incredible. Just fantastic to be able to see them live and singing. They sound as great, masks on or off, I suppose.
Yeah. It's probably true. A little less muffled, probably, without the masks on. Look, well, welcome, the three of you, to like a proper little Nullpois fan group meetup here. This is quite cool because you guys all listen to the podcast. Let's start with you, Kim. What did you make of the semi-final yesterday?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it at home in my slippers, as is usual. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the Ukraine element was wonderful, very moving, and I can't wait to be there tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys, whereabouts did you watch semi-final one and what did you think of it?
So we did the dress rehearsal in the afternoon and then we're in the Eurovision Village. So it was electric. It was great. You got to dance around, just see everybody around was just fantastic. Sad that my boys, the Busker, did not qualify.
Oh, no.
Yes, but they sent me a little message today to say thank you for all the support and everything.
Oh,
I was dancing
nice.
In my sweater and all that. But yeah, it was, I cried. It was like one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life, just being with all these people. So yeah. Fabulous. Yeah.
And this is the first time that I know, Nathan and Louise, you both travel to a Eurovision Song Contest. So what have you made, Nathan, of the experience?
It's been just beyond anything I could have imagined. The one thing that we've said is we're never going to be able to watch it at home on the couch ever again.
Yeah. This is the problem. Welcome to our world here.
I think it's worth saying as well, Nathan, just tell us, where have you come from to watch this?
I have been introduced to this by Louise, and I am from America, and I am a lifelong fan, not
and
of the American
from
Florida, Orlando, Florida. Fantastic capital, not capital of Florida, but just great place. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to watch Eurovision not on my couch again.
And what was it? Because Chris and I are guilty of often saying that the Americans don't get it, right?
Yeah.
And what was it, though, for you that really got you into it and really made you enjoy watching Eurovision for what it is, which is, let's face it, bonkers?
I think primarily I love music more than I probably should. And how many indie bands can I find that are, you know, each week have 50,000 or a few thousand viewers per month on Spotify? I don't want to say hipster, but I think that's probably the right way to name myself. But just the music element and just the electricity of the event, I wish more Americans understood. The American Song Contest last year, I don't want to badmouth it too much.
No, feel free.
They did not understand what Eurovision was. And Eurovision as the, you know, event, the art is undescribable. And I couldn't even begin. But it is my favorite thing. It's my life every single year when I watch them at the beginning of every month. And I listen to every song and just follow on the Reddit and the subdivision. And the podcast, making sure you're subscribed and Patreon members of the Nullpois podcast.
Yeah, Nathan's doing a great job here for our marketing department, which is, yeah, I know, this is very good.
Louise's dating profile, when we started dating, number one song of all time was Fairy Tale, Alexander Rybak. It started from there.
Oh. Did it, really? Starting from day one. I like that, Louise. Very good.
Quickly, guys, I guess we're looking ahead to semi-final two now, so predictions for that?
Predictions are Austria's going through.
Yeah.
It would not be Eurovision if that song did not get through. And then I'm a bit lost. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Who are you thinking is going to come out kind of like top three, top five at the very end of the, you know, the whole thing on Saturday?
Ooh. So I love France. I think Finland will win. I think Sweden will win the will it win the jury vote? Don't know. But I think it will be Finland to win, Sweden second because of public vote. I think France will be up there. I'd love the UK to be up there. I don't think the UK will be up there. That's as far as I'm willing to stick my neck out, Martin.
Okay, well, you've stuck it out further than me. Go on, Louise, what are your predictions?
I think it's going to be Loreen. I think just hearing it live, it was... The jury's going to put her up there. The people are going to put her up there. Then Finland. Unicorn. Unicorn had a great,
Israel.
Just, you know, response yesterday. Don't rule out Luke Black. He has a big fan base in Eastern Europe. And also, I think...
Your favourite?
Austria, I don't think they're going to get in that top five, but I think that maybe the boys from Slovenia might, with they're just too good looking not to.
That helps.
Okay, and finally Nathan.
I think I'm right there. Finland number one would be my dream, followed by probably Austria, po, and then Slovenia because they're gorgeous.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us for that little repertoire of Subwoofer. It was great to catch up. And great to catch up with you guys.
Have a wonderful time, all three of you, whatever you end up doing. And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
We love the podcast.
We have not paid these people.
Yet.
So there you go, a little secret gig we attended there. It was lovely to catch that going on with Subwoofer. Now, coming up, we're going to be having an interview with Lord of the Lost, the German entry. But we love to get your reaction. You heard us talking to some fans there about their thoughts ahead of the final. We'd love to hear your thoughts about everything we'll be talking about on this podcast. Would you like to see Eurovision go back to 100% televote? What do you think is going to happen in this upcoming final? All this kind of stuff. Get in touch. You can get in touch on Instagram with NullPoirPodcast, on the email nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com, and on Twitter @PoirNull. And we've got some correspondence coming up in a little bit.
Right then, here we go to our interview with Lord of the Lost. They are the German entry, and it was so good that we got the opportunity to have a chat with them. It was a bit chaotic, right? Because if you can imagine the situation, they are backstage at Eurovision. They're in the arena, they're in their dressing room, and we pop up on a laptop and we're talking to Chris and the guys, and we were able to ask them a few questions, and we wanted to know, are they having a nice time in Liverpool?
It's so easy to feel welcomed here. Everyone is so friendly, the whole environment is so professional, and there's no negativity. It's all just about positivity. We love that.
Tell us, what's your Eurovision journey been like so far then?
Well, it's a journey that actually took a couple of weeks, but it feels like half a year already because so many things happen. It's a roller coaster, a very, very long roller coaster, which is ending on Saturday.
Yeah, but the roller coaster means up and down. And I think the roller coaster of this Eurovision is
up and up and up.
It's going up and up and up, but with the fun of going down, down, down.
Okay. I really like that metaphor. That's excellent. Why Eurovision then? Why did Lord of the Lost decide that the Eurovision Song Contest was something that you wanted to be involved in?
I mean, there's two reasons. One is a personal thing. Not all of us, but some of us, especially me, maybe, grew up watching Eurovision annually and loving it. And not just the music, but also like the show elements. And you can tell that we are a band that is all about the show also. It's a child's dream come true now. And we're trying for like 10 years to be part of Eurovision. And the other thing is it's a Eurovision Song Contest, not the Eurovision Pop Contest. And it's about diversity, and that also includes musical diversity.
Talk to us a little bit how you wrote the song. We had a chat with Anthony, who co-wrote some of the lyrics. Tell us a little bit how you guys wrote the song and what it's about.
Well, it started with me. I'm Chris here. And a friend of ours, Rupert, from another band. We started writing the music, the basic bits of the lyrics, like 2 years ago in summer. Then I realized, okay, I'm not getting any further with the lyrics. And if you start to fight with something, it's always good to talk to someone else. So I gave it to Pai, our guitar player, and at the same time to Anthony, and told them, what do you guys think? You guys want to come up with verses? So actually what they did individually came up with full lyrics for the rest of the song. And then we sat down and kind of took the best bits of all of them And yeah, I mean, what's it about? It can be many, many things, but the key line and the most important one for me is we're all from the same blood. And I think that's a very beautiful message, especially for Eurovision.
And especially right now, do you get the feeling that you're in a competition that has the eyes of the world on it at a time where the country who's meant to be hosting can't do that because of Russia invading?
I think one of the most beautiful things here is that it does not even feel like a competition. It feels like a festival, artists coming together. Of course, in the end, it's a competition, but we don't feel any competitive energy here. Of course, it's obvious that this should have taken place in Kiev and not in Liverpool. And it's one of the things that we are sad about besides the whole catastrophe of this war in general. It's like we're missing going there to Ukraine, actually playing for our fans. And as soon as this war is over, hopefully very soon, we're going to go back there and play.
And just on that point of, you know, it not feeling like a competition, who else have you been hanging out with then? Are you good friends with any of the other entrants?
I wouldn't say good friends. It takes a lot to be really good friends. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
We met a few. Carrie, Loreen,
May. Actually, on the turquoise carpet, it was really for us the first time that we met a few and actually had the possibility to talk to them and have a good time to have a dance battle with Carrie.
How did that go?
Very well. We're all winners, I think. But he's still the best dancer. Yeah, and the opening ceremony, so it was a good time.
With that all in mind then, who do you think, and you're not allowed to say Germany, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, we don't know.
It changes every day.
I'm not going to say that. It feels, I don't even want to think about winning, actually. It feels unfair. It feels unfair.
Yeah, lovely to have a chat with them. Good luck to them as well. They seem lovely guys, don't they?
Really, really nice. Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful to have a conversation with them. And it's lovely to have a conversation with you as well. Thank you so much for getting in contact and supporting the podcast as you have been doing. Loads of people been getting in touch with thoughts on the first semi-final and all other things besides.
PopTunes UK on Twitter got in contact saying, I've been backing Loreen all the way since February, but after tonight, they're talking about semi-final one, surely Finland will take it on Saturday. I think running order may be key. Oh, and Israel deserves to be third. Wow. On Instagram, we have lots of people getting in contact with us. Hello, Holly, who is saying, listen to the podcast, our semi-final one podcast, loved it. Me and my friend are travelling down to Liverpool on Friday morning and have tickets to the Eurovision Village on Saturday. Holly wanted some tips on any recommendations of bars that fans have been going to in Liverpool. Well, we've been enjoying it here at Duke Street Market. This was quite nice. I mean, there aren't many fans around here, but I would say, Holly, just walk down, you know, the main streets, wouldn't you say?
The thing about Liverpool is it's not maybe as big in the city centre as you perhaps think it is. So if you spend kind of 10, 15 minutes wandering around, you'll probably find somewhere. The street that the Cavern Club is on, or that the new Cavern Club is on, and the Grapes, indeed, that is a really kind of buzzing street, and there's loads of live music there. So if you like your live music, walk along there, because you're bound to find something that'll interest you. But honestly, if you go anywhere in the city centre, you will find something that is of interest to you, depending on what your kind of the vibe you're going for. So that would be my advice. Also, Albert Docks is quite cool during the day for some nice places to go and get like a coffee or something.
Commiserations to Alexander on Insta, who got in contact with us again, enjoying the podcast episodes, saying they were planning to visit Liverpool on the 12th, but because of the train strikes, they're not going to be able to go. Sorry to hear that, Alexander, but they're still very excited for the show. They've been checking out the rehearsals, saying they're very excited, in particular for Austria and the UK. And me too. I think those two, I'm really hoping they pull it out the bag, because they're some of my favourites. Thank you again to Joe as well, who congratulated us again on getting out the episodes very quickly. They were at the evening preview show on Monday, so they got to watch semi-final one twice, once live and once on TV. Said it sounded like the atmosphere in the arena was even better than they experienced the day before, and said roll on Thursday semi-final. Yeah, indeed, we're looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for getting in touch. It's been brilliant. Chris has given you the ways that you can do that if you want to say hello. Our next episode will be coming out in approximately 24 hours from now. We'll be bringing you reaction to the second semi-final, which we're going to watch in the fan zone, the Eurovision Village on the big screens there. That's going to be really exciting because we haven't been there yet, but I am going there this evening because I'm going to watch the Lightning Seeds, who apparently are playing. And you're also going to hear what Cress is hopefully going to be getting up to this evening. She's having a late night bender doing what?
All right, I'll behave. Yeah, I'm going to Wee Wee Jam. Couldn't get enough Wee Wee today, so I'm off to Wee Wee Jam, which is the big event that Wee Wee Blogs are holding. There's probably going to be lots of Eurovision acts performing there and having a grand old time. So let's see what happens. You'll hear more about that in the next episode.
Yep, catch you again very soon. Thank you for your company on this one. Till the next time, this is Null Pois.